How many times have I heard someone say, "I just don't have the gift of evangelism"? And while this may be the case, I know you. I know you want to be able to share about the love of God and how He has transformed your life. But maybe you feel just a little bit stuck. And girl, we got you. My guests today are going to graciously show us different ways to share about the Lord in a way that won't make you cringe. Imagine that. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, to integrate their life and faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrender faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back. Evangelism can make us want to crawl into a hole. Trust me, I've been there. It's not easy sharing about our faith with a world that constantly rejects it. But it is still something that we've been asked to do, so what do we do about that? My guests today are two of my dear friends who have been called to a lot of evangelism in their time. But what I love about what they shared today is their very gracious, patient, and loving approach. They also recognize that we are going to have our own styles, and no one is required to be the next Billy Graham. We can really lean in to how God has uniquely designed us to share and be open to Him encouraging us in areas that we're just not as strong at. Larry and Marby also share about their own strengths and challenges in evangelism throughout their life as full-time missionaries. You guys are going to be absolutely blown away by their wisdom and encouragement. I don't want you to wait a second longer. Here are my guests, Larry and Marby. Welcome, my friends. Welcome, Larry and Marby, to Faith School. I am so honored that you were on here to talk about evangelism, because I think, man, this is like a big deal within the faith. And so I'm just excited to really like dig into this with you guys, because I know it's an area that you are also very passionate about. So as we begin, I'd love if you just share what some of your roles are right now and where are you recording from?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. It is an honor for Marby and I to be here. We love what you're doing, what this ministry is all about, and we love the impact that it's having, and we pray for this ministry.
Mm. We're just so excited that we can be a part of this today and talk about this wonderful, sometimes uncomfortable topic, but a good topic to talk about. Mm-hmm. So thanks for having us. Marby and I have been full-time missionaries with Avant Ministries. It's formerly known as Gospel Missionary Union. It's a global mission agency, a church planting mission agency. We've been with them for almost 30 years now. Wow. Our current role is to mobilize and mentor missionaries that are coming out of parts of the world that used to receive missionaries. Now they're ready to send their own missionaries, specifically Latin America, which is because of our background and language and where we've lived and worked as missionaries. Yeah. It's just really good fit that way. So we're also just helping them to develop and train and prepare their missionaries, send their missionaries out. And then how do you take care of their missionaries over the period of time that they're out across the globe? And then part of that, the second part of our role is to provide pastoral care for Spanish-speaking missionaries or Latin American missionaries that are on different fields all around the world. And so we connect with them and we help look after their spiritual, emotional, and sometimes even physical needs, safety, whatever it is that we're just keeping an eye on, making sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. We want them to do well. We want them to thrive. We want them to stay and not lose heart, not get discouraged, all of those things. So that's what we're doing right now for as many as we can. And we're adding to the number every month, and it's exciting.
Wow.
So
wow, that's amazing. And where are you guys recording from right now?
We're recording actually from Tree Hills, Alberta.
Cool. Yeah, we're in Canada right now. We do everything online, partly because of the obvious travel restrictions over the last couple of years. That's going to change, but we've just been doing everything from our computer, which is kind of cool that we can still at least do that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, I would love for people to know kind of what your work looked like when you were in the field as well. And I know some of it is probably fairly similar, but because you guys have been doing this for so long, I'm sure it's also changed a little bit too. So where have you been missionaries around the world, and what was the primary focus of that work?
Okay. We have lived and worked in Belize. That's where I'm from. We've also worked in Mexico and Uruguay. Our primary focus in Belize was church and leadership development because the churches were already planted. So it was just following through so that they become self, I don't know what's the word.
Autonomous, yes. Or self-leading, yeah. Self-ministering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in Mexico and Uruguay, it was evangelism and discipleship for church planting. So mm-hmm. That was totally different, but it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. And I'm talking to you guys because you do have such a heart for evangelism. Like, I know it's really, really important to both of you. And I think a lot of people want to be able to get involved in evangelism, but it doesn't really feel that natural for them. So for you guys, did you feel like that came really naturally, or what has your journey really looked like with evangelism?
Yeah, good question. The truth is, just because we were called to be missionaries in a foreign land and we went to Bible college to prepare for it, didn't mean that we just naturally go out and evangelize easily. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's part of our DNA or something. I think it can be intimidating and uncomfortable to share our faith with our neighbors and sometimes with strangers who speak another language.
Yeah.
That's also sometimes difficult. It's crazy. But Larry and I are shy by nature, yeah. But God has been working on us and he has been transforming us. And as we surrender to him, we have just been amazed. One of my personal favorite verse that I always have used was 2 Timothy 1:7. Mm-hmm. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind. And sometimes you just have to step out. I remember the first time, I might have been 14 years old in our church. I was taking a discipleship class, and we're going to go evangelize the people. And mm-hmm. I looked around the room and I made sure I was put with a lady that was older, was mature in her faith. And I thought, this is going to be easy. All I have to do is just stand beside her and nod my head and agree and hold the Bible or, do what she's told me to do.
Yeah.
And would you believe it? The first home we went door to door, the lady I was paired with didn't speak Spanish because Belize's official language is English.
Okay.
But I did. So the lady that answered the door was Spanish speaking. So there I was trembling and thinking, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I'm going to die. But I didn't. I found out that God gave me the ability to talk to her and share my faith. And mm-hmm. we had already gone through it. So it was just, looking at the older lady, and she kept having this huge smile and nodding her head. So I thought, I'm doing something good. And that's how it started. So sometimes you just have to step out and just, trust God that he'll mm-hmm. open the door and give us the courage when we need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think, a good encouragement for a lot of people, because as they're at the beginning of this conversation, I know that they're going to be like, oh, I'm nervous, but as we go on, we're going to build some confidence here together.
Yes.
Well, and I can say that Marby is, from the day I met her, I knew she was a very quiet, very shy person, mm-hmm. Hated to be, up in front of people, mm-hmm. on the stage or any of that kind of stuff, but just a super humble servant of Christ, mm-hmm. and was willing to serve God. And I've just marveled, being married to her for 30 years now, I've just absolutely been amazed at how I've seen her just come out of that little by little, mm-hmm. and be such an encouragement to me, who's also I struggle with the same thing, and just being kind of shy and nervous and mm-hmm. rather just live on a mountaintop all by ourselves somewhere, mm-hmm. but God said, no, go out and love people and be relational and make disciples. Yeah. And I was like, okay, God, you're gonna have to change us. But she has inspired me hugely. Yeah. Watching the amount of just devotion and effort and humble surrender to Christ and allowing God to transform her into a person that just speaks so wisely. I'm more talkative than she is, but she's way wiser than me. So I'll just add that to what she said. I am so proud of her. I just think it's amazing. And so her life is a testimony that God really can do this.
Yeah.
And give you what you need to be able to share your faith when he provides an opportunity. And I think we'll talk more about that as this conversation goes along. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I know that, Larry, that you are actually, are you second generation or how many generations? Second generation?
My mom and dad. Yeah.
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 So how would you say as you've grown up, because you have a bit of a different story than Marby, right? In terms of mission work. How do you think things have really changed from the time that your parents were missionaries and doing this kind of work to yourself?
I love being able to talk about this because, yeah, I grew up as a missionary kid in Latin America. That's where I get all the language and culture. But it's interesting. I grew up as a missionary kid with church planting missionary parents. Marby grew up in a church that was planted by missionaries of our same mission. Okay. But we didn't grow up in the same place. We met later as young adults. But anyway, the answer to the question, though, is it's so different now. Like when my parents went out in the early 60s, they were going into, some difficult regions of Latin America where it was literally like unreached with the gospel yet. They were really targeting areas and it was very difficult. But my dad's role, just to give an example of one way that it's changed, is dad was a printer. So he would set up a print shop and he would train people. And then once that print shop was functioning, then he would we'd go to another country and he'd do the same. The reason for that was that back then everything had to be printed on paper.
Right.
And it was essential that every field needed a print shop because when you write a tract or something or you're translating the Bible, somebody has to print it on paper. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's so different, right? We transfer everything digitally. Everybody has a super cool printer in the house that does all these graphics with full color and just brilliant and everything, full color. And so there's no need for a print shop, but that's just one example of how things have changed. But I know Marby, from her perspective, she could also talk about one change that we've experienced together.
Yeah. Well, a huge and exciting thing that has changed since Larry's parents went out. When they went out was to reach the unreached people. And now I think after 50 years later, there are many churches. They're mature. They have their own leadership. They have Bible colleges. They have seminars. And they have radio stations and a lot of other ministries that they're doing. So while there's still missionaries out there helping them like wrap things up and finalize the last stages, the other part of it is that they're starting to send out missionaries. And that is exciting. So that has changed since when his parents went out till for our time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Countries that used to receive like missionaries, was the concept of missionary was like, well, somebody comes from another country here to teach us the Bible. Now they're saying, oh, what about the Great Commission? Like, I think it's for us too, you know?
Right.
And so that's always been taught, but now it's being caught. It's being, there's a passion that's just awakening to like, hey, we need to be doing this. The Great Commission is for us too. It's not about just receiving outside help, but now it's what do we do globally? And that's super exciting. And that's totally different than when my parents went out. So really exciting stuff. Yeah.
Well, that I love that so much because it just kind of reminds me of when I went to Thailand and we were working with the missionaries there and they were doing Bible translation. And they would say that they are trying to translate so that the Bible is in someone's heart language. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just their God, it's my God. And that's kind of what it reminds me of a little bit too. It's like, it's not just the missionary's God. Like, no, this is my God. And I'm ready to serve him the way that he wants me to, too. I don't know. That's what it reminds me of. I just think that's so encouraging.
We used to, when we were doing church planting in one of the places, you know, when we talked about now they were ready for us to go somewhere else. They were like, oh, you know, you guys are going to leave us. We said, you know what? You need to send us out to another place. Like, we've been here for years. You guys can handle this on your own. And now are you willing to send us to another part of the world so that we can do what we did here somewhere else? And then we said, you know, you have the same Holy Spirit that we do. The exact, he is the same in you as he is in us. His work is exactly the same. His word is the same in your language as our language. It's his word. And so you are going to continue this mission the same we did. And that's been really cool to see that sense of, yes, we are on the same level and God is doing the exact same. I think that he's doing even more. Like I see Latin American missionaries and I'm just amazed at how awesome they are in what they're doing all around the world, how they how they fit in, how they adapt, how they just their loving heart that's so natural for them as a culture. Anyway, I could go on all day about how exciting this is, but yes, God is doing good things. So,
I think that's really encouraging to so many people who maybe aren't very in touch with what's happening outside of North America. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I want to go to our back to basics question, which is just, we're going to talk about evangelism. So first off, back to basics, what is evangelism?
Okay. Marby and I agreed I could start this one off and then she'll share a little bit down the road.
Sure.
So in a nutshell, Sunday school definition, I would say evangelism is taking the time when given the opportunity or making the opportunity to introduce someone to Jesus, to who he is, to what he has done, why is that important, and to do so either through our personal experience or using verses from the Bible or both. And in my opinion, I think both is the best. Personal experience and some verses from God's word. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically it. And it just takes time and the willingness to share. Yeah.
I love that. I love how kind of how step-by-step that is, how clear that is, because I think that eliminates some confusion. One thing that I think maybe we have a hard time with is knowing what is my actual role versus Holy Spirit versus what God is doing. We don't want to be taking on too much of ourselves, thinking that it's my job to bring someone necessarily, because I can't do the heart change myself. So what do you think? What are we actually responsible for as servants of Christ? What are we responsible for?
I think what we're actually responsible for is availability.
Yeah.
Which leads to time. Which leads to attention to another person's reality or need. And then which leads to just knowing what we need to say.
Yeah.
And that requires a little bit of thought ahead of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much about a deep theological discussion as it is just about sharing real life, relatable truths from the Bible and our own experience in it, and doing that in a caring way. I think that's our part is just to be available to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then God does his part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you care for the other person. That's part of the availability, is caring for them. So how would you say do you address the whole person, not just the spiritual, but you're caring for them as an entire person? How do we do this well?
I think getting to know them, when we meet someone, at first it's very superficial because they don't share all of them. They just show you the mask on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that as you spend time with the person, like you pick up on little things they might say or something they might do.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're in this, you're asking God to give you wisdom, and then it just opens up the possibility. If you realize that they have a financial need, we might not be able to give them all the money, but we might be able to pray with them specifically or talk to someone else that could help in a given case. Or we might babysit, we might help them clean a yard, if they whatever, just acts of service. And that's how we start caring for them in a personal way. Then it's open more to be able to share, well, why do you do this? Like you just got to know me. Like, why are you even interested in helping me? Because I care and because Jesus loves me and I love you. And that blows their mind. It usually does, because even their own family is not willing to help them in a given moment because they're too busy with their own things.
Right.
And they're like, well, you figure you out. And so when we come and we do that for people, it just, it just opens the door.
Yeah, I love that.
I think it helps to allow ourselves to think about the comparison and contrast, or where does evangelism and disciple making intersect, and where are they kind of a little bit different? Because we talk about evangelism, but really the command that Jesus gave was to make disciples, which involves what we would define evangelism as. At some point, you have to explain, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And what is the death and resurrection of Christ, you know, in my place? What does it mean to say, you know, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life? What is that? You know, why would anyone need that? So that the evangelism part of actually explaining the good news of Jesus Christ, that he actually died in your place. He loves you so much that he wants to give you life. He wants to, you know, like the blind man said, I was blind and now I see, you know, like yeah. I met Jesus. And so discipleship is this process of living life with someone and sharing whatever I know, mm-hmm. Anything I just learned from the Bible, I want to make sure that person hears it from me too, because when I share it with that person, like if I just learned something in my devotions, you know, I was like, hey, can I share this with you? And in my discipleship time with that individual, I share what I'm learning because it also right. cements it in my own heart. That's a process. But if we break down evangelism, we could talk about different styles. There's confrontational evangelism, which might be a little old fashioned. Mm-hmm. That was the, you know, back in the day when you had, you know, you did an evangelistic crusade and somebody preached with power and passion, but, you know, talked yeah. about tough things like, you know, hell and heaven and the blood of Christ and some of those things. So it was very confrontational, but it worked. People would run to the front at a Billy mm-hmm. Graham crusade and give their heart to Christ. And then they needed someone to explain what does it all mean, you know?
Right.
So then yeah. they still need a discipleship after that. And or the door to door or that random sort of, hey, do you know Jesus? You need Christ. That moment where you just kind of lay it on the line. Mm-hmm. But there's also an intellectual approach, which the intellectual approach is where you may want to, you know, talk about, well, what do you think about, you know, some of the tougher theological things like mm-hmm. Paul did with the Athenians when he was like, hey, I noticed you have an altar to the unknown God. You know, what do you think of that? And so he got right. into this kind of a discussion. That's not everybody's thing. Like not everyone yeah. would feel comfortable, but I know a lot of people that love to just get into a good discussion and aren't afraid to even maybe get backed in a corner a little bit and have to say, hey, I'll get back to you on that. But they love that intellectual approach.
Yeah.
But that's not for everybody. So then there's the testimonial approach where you just tell your own story. Mm-hmm. Like the blind man, you know, they were trying to discredit Jesus and he said, hey, all I know is I was blind, now I see. He just told his story.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most familiar one. Like we should know what is our story with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ and how can we share that in 10 minutes in a way that doesn't sound pretentious or offensive, right? So we got to work on that a little bit. But there's the interpersonal and the relational thing where you just live life with people and you're willing to come over and help them with, like Marby was saying, just help them with stuff. Just love them and just listen and just, you know, get to know them, hear their story first before you start telling your story about Jesus. Hear what they think about something and don't come back with, well, you're wrong. You know, obviously we don't want to do that kind of thing. So then, and then there's the invitational, which is another style where we just invite people like the Samaritan woman that just had this amazing conversation with Jesus by the well, mm-hmm. runs to tell everybody, you've got to come meet this guy. And she brings a bunch of people. But we tend to think invitational is just, hey, you should come to my church. It's really cool. The worship is awesome, which is all good.
Totally.
And the, mm-hmm. and the preacher's going to tell you, the pastor's going to tell you about how to know Jesus. But actually invitational evangelism is not just inviting to the church. It's inviting to Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's really at some point you still want to explain what it means to have a personal relationship. And then the last one is serving. The last type of evangelism, which is just serving. You're bringing groceries to the door because you know that, you know, someone has not been well and is maybe out of work and you're just helping. You just go cut the lawn because, you know, the person is no longer able to do that. Mm-hmm. You just serve. Acts of kindness, acts of charity is a way, you know, like the famous saying, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. So you have all of that, but I got to tell you, with six different styles, we want to figure out which one fits us best, but it's usually a combination.
Yeah.
And so we come back to the discipleship thing. How do you meet the needs of the whole person? Use as many of these as you can, but in the relationship thing of disciple making, which ends up being a multiplying thing, there's sort of this multiplicity to it where if I'm discipling a person, that person needs to disciple another person as soon as possible, because then two of us become four, which becomes eight, which becomes 16. That's the principle that I think Jesus was really after. So evangelism and discipleship work together. Figure out what fits best and go with that. But devote your energy and time and kind of prepare how will it look if I get into that situation. And then the more we do the relational stuff, the more we get to know people, the easier it is just to know how can I meet this person's needs? Mm-hmm. I won't know if the only time I ever meet that person is on a Sunday morning for an hour at church when we're all on our best behavior and we're hiding our pain behind our smiles. That I just won't know unless I get into that relationship. And it's one person at a time. That's all mm-hmm. Jesus was talking about. Mm-hmm. At least one person at a time, but go make disciples, right? Mm-hmm. And that's evangelism with a purpose because it leads to discipleship, which leads to multiplying.
Yeah.
So I'll stop there because I you can probably tell I could go on all day about it. I don't want to take up all the time. I know you have other questions, but anyway.
No, I actually I think that's so helpful, because I remember when I heard you share some of that another time, and it was such a freedom to me, because I don't know, I just didn't feel like maybe I'm just not good at evangelism because I don't look like that person. You know, I'm not confronting people in the street and telling them that they need Christ. That's just, I don't feel like that's where my gifting is, you know, but
yeah, me neither.
Yeah. But to know, like, okay, there's other ways that we can reach people and we can share Christ with them. It doesn't look just one way. I think that gives people so much freedom. And to know that part of that, which is why evangelism maybe is that we have a hard time with, it's like an all-in thing. It's something that you really are walking with someone. Like you said, not just inviting them to the church service and allowing someone else to do it for you. No, you're walking with them. You're journeying with them. I think that's really important. One of the things that I know that I've personally struggled with is how much is my responsibility versus how much God, like how much of it is his responsibility, you know, where he's like preparing their hearts and all that sort of thing. Cause in my mind, I can be like, well, I want to fix this. And I want to like tell you what the right thing is. And I'm going to try to do everything that I can. But then there came a point where someone was like, Leah, you need to let Jesus be Jesus. You know, you can't change their hearts. So I would just love if you would share kind of what is the Holy Spirit's role in all of this as we're partnering with him.
He is always at work. The Holy Spirit is always working, and has most likely been already working, preparing that moment in the person's heart before we say anything to them or spend time with them. He is the only one who can truly convince someone of their need of the Savior or forgiveness or trust in Jesus. The Holy Spirit also gives us the courage that we need in that moment to sacrifice time, to speak the truth in love, because that's hard sometimes, and helps us in the moment to know what to say and what not to say, because sometimes we need to not say certain things even though we think that's what they need to know. But we have to be open to the Holy Spirit ourselves preparing our hearts. But it's like you were saying, it's a continuously walk. Like when we wake up in the morning, we're just we may not even be thinking I'm going to share my faith with someone, but in a given moment that comes up, you know, because the nudging of the Holy Spirit is so strong, and we just have to be obedient and say, okay, that's not what I plan to do in my next 2 hours or 1 hour. I'm going to be late for this, but this is more important. And the Holy Spirit also gives us the wisdom and how to use the words.
Absolutely.
The cool thing is that when it's relational, it's not complicated, because people will just like, as you know, you're spending time with them, you bring them into your home, which not everyone is comfortable doing that. But we, you know, obviously as missionaries, our door had to be open. We had people coming into our home. But this one took me by surprise. This one person one time said, every time I come into your house, I feel something I never feel anywhere else. And I said, oh, what's that? And I'm thinking, oh, like you're nervous or you feel weird or like we're so strange. And he said, no, they said, we feel a peace in our hearts when we're in your home. There's just this peace here. And then, you know, it was just kind of a no-brainer. It's like, well, obviously it's because there's a peace that comes from someone. It's not us. We're stressed. We have anxiety. We have conflict. We get mad at each other. Whatever. Like we, you know, we're upset at our kids for the way they're behaving, just like anybody else. You know what I mean? We're normal people. And I was able to say, well, you know, and they had already seen that we're normal people too. It wasn't like we walked, you know, 10 feet above the ground. But it was an opportunity to say, well, obviously that peace is what the Bible calls the peace of God that transcends all understanding, guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then it says the God of peace will give you that peace, right? So it's like, okay, so if you're feeling a peace, well, I tell you what, it's simple. The one who lives in our hearts is the source of peace. You know, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I mean, there's so much in the Bible. We could just, you're not preaching at him. You just say like, that lives in my heart. So me alone, me with all my anger issues, there's no way I could generate that peace. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, he's doing it in me. So if you feel the peace, you're feeling the presence of God, not because we're so spiritual, we're normal, right. but because we need that peace so much in our lives. And we cry out to God for his peace every day. And he's promised to guard our hearts and minds with his peace. Mm-hmm. It was that simple of a conversation. And they were just like, I want that so bad because I don't have peace.
Wow.
And then, well, what do you say after that? I would say, well, would you like to know the Prince of Peace? You know, like, hey, let's talk about the gospel. Like it just, God just drops those opportunities in our lap and we're already hanging out having supper. So it's really not like we have to be super nervous or anxious about it. God just works it into conversation, even in surprising ways. And then we just have to say, okay, and I'm throwing up these prayers in the moment saying, God, give me the words right now. And he does because I didn't plan this out. But it's super cool how God does that, you know, and he does that in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. I love that. We, one time, Caleb and I were on our way to see some friends and we were just saying in the car, like, man, we just feel like we're not reaching people. You know, we're there and we're available and we're serving, but like, we can't seem to get anybody to be interested in Christ or ask us questions or anything like that. We get to the person's house at the very end, right before we leave. He's not a believer. And he was like, hey, I think I want to go to church with you guys one time. We're like, what? We didn't prompt that. We didn't do anything, but like Holy Spirit is at work, right? And he's just like, he's encouraging you along the way and stepping in when, you know, when you know that you can't do it yourself.
And you know, actually, you know, saying something and asking God to show us, you know, what to say is important because I mean, I heard this story. I'll keep it as brief as I can. But this guy that just said, I'm never going to say anything. I'm just going to live a testimony at work. And I'm just going to let my actions speak. But I'm not going to ever say anything to my coworkers. After months, finally, this guy comes up to him and said, hey, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. And he's thinking in his mind, yes, he finally noticed. Yeah. He's like, I've noticed something different about you. And he's getting really excited. He's thinking, oh, he's going to ask me about my faith. And the guy says, are you a vegetarian? You know, so it's like, oh, okay. You know, that's good too. Dude, let's talk about that. But at some point it's okay to just say, we're not being preachy. We're just being transparent. It's a part of what defines us. It's okay. But finding that the Holy Spirit sets up that little moment where like you were just saying, you know, hey, I see something in you that I'm drawn to. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'd love to know more. And then that's the open door. Yeah. We don't have to jump all over it and preach to them for 45 minutes. But sometimes it's just like, hey, I'm so glad you asked, man. I just want you to know that, you know, you matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to keep talking about this.
Totally.
You know? But God sets it up. So.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I know that there's a lot of hesitancy with evangelism as much as I hope after people hear what we've just talked about, they feel very encouraged. But I think there is still a little bit of hesitancy with people because we're afraid of pushing people farther away from Jesus, or scaring them off. I would love if you just shared a little bit about why do you think people have a hesitancy towards evangelism in your mind? And then what encouragement would you give them to keep going?
I think the biggest one is just fear. I mean, and I say that from my own personal experience because we're afraid of the reaction sometimes because sometimes in Christianity, we have been a lot more confrontational than we have been relational or using, you know, more of a servant heart or invitational or interpersonal relational. It's been more of a hit and run type of thing where we just hit people with like, you know, turn or burn, you know, kind of the old phrase, like, you know, it never really was the best way, but we've done a lot of that. And also society is changing all around us and all around the world. And I think the fear is of opposition or rejection. And opposition and rejection doesn't look the same here in Canada or in North America as it does in many parts of the world that we've seen up close and personal. So, but it's still there and it makes us uncomfortable. And I think we're now in a culture that expends huge amounts of energy trying to be tolerant, relevant, agreeable, supportive. And those are all good things. But unfortunately, in the body of Christ, we're trying to sort of catch up and stay relevant, but stay true to our convictions, stay true to the Bible. And we're often misunderstood. We're often misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, our best intentions create the wrong reactions. And we get kind of taken back like, oh, my goodness, maybe I should just not say anything about that subject because I don't know how to address that subject without offending someone. And it's hard. And we have to that's where we come back to that, you know, the Holy Spirit's guidance and praying and praying and praying. We can never pray enough or too much. But also societal labels on Christianity have made our faith somewhat less palatable or popular in a lot of circles or even acceptable. And so now we tend to want to shrink back a little bit. And now we're not sure how do we reach society anymore? How do we approach this? So revisiting this from a standpoint of faith and conviction, and yet understanding the importance of love and acceptance and relationship and listening. Those are the key components that were always there. Jesus exhibited that. And yet sometimes he was, you know, but we don't see him really getting on Zacchaeus's case. He just said, hey, come down out of the tree, man. I want to have supper with you. And he never told him, you better change now or you're in trouble. He was not condescending. He just hung out with him. Everyone else was looking down on this poor guy, you know, because he was a tax collector. But Jesus just spent that time with him. And Zacchaeus completely changed. Why? Because he was in the presence of Jesus and he felt loved. He felt loved and accepted for the first time in his life. And he chose to change. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to remember. So I think that's why we hesitate, is because we're not sure, how do I do this now?
Yeah.
We're less popular. I don't know if we ever were popular, but you know, because Jesus said they will hate you for my name's sake.
Yeah.
But how do we love people and how do we prove to people that we are relevant and that we actually are love, people of love and people of peace and people of acceptance and embracing a person, the whole person, just the way they are, because that's what Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
He embraces that person. He says, come to me as you are. I will give you rest. I will save you. You know, how do we do that? So until we kind of figure that on a personal level, you know, and again, who's going to show us how to do that? I can't show someone else. It's the Holy Spirit who has to show me and each one of us individually. But if we're not listening, if we're not going for it, we're not saying, God, show me how to do this. I want to do this. Mm-hmm. We'll shrink back and we just won't. We just won't do it.
Yeah. I think you said something really important there, Larry, in just really accepting where people are right now. It doesn't mean that we think that everything that they're doing is right necessarily. You know what I mean, though? Like I think there's a part of us that was like, I want to love every part of you. And I think that's different than accepting who they are in the moment. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really important because there are some labels that people will take on that make it harder for us to talk to them. We're like, oh, maybe they're just too far gone because they're in this category or they're in this category. And what you said is important, that we are with the person where they're at and we love them where they're at, and that God is going to show us how to reach them to go past the labels that that person has put on themselves to really reach them, to really get into their heart. And so I just would encourage anybody who's listening, man, don't be afraid of approaching somebody because of maybe a particular stance they have on something and think that they're too far gone. They're not. They're absolutely not.
And maybe there's only two categories. In a relationship with Jesus Christ or not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And all we're there to do is to just say, can I introduce you to the most amazing, loving, sacrificial servant king that has ever existed? I mean, he's everything to me. And there's no judgment on my part. There's only a desire for you to know this free gift that he's given me that's available to everybody. Mm-hmm. And who was I but the least deserving person of that gift?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my personal story comes in, you know, where I think we're misunderstood as people who claim to be perfect all the time. No. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the label hypocrite comes from, you know, and it's like, it's hard because we're striving to be like Jesus. And then we make mistakes and we confront those mistakes and we repent and we look for change and we're in a process of transformation. Coming back to discipleship, that's where a person gets to see that. But
yeah,
I should let Marby share a little bit more too. I just got so much to say on my heart.
There's always a lot.
It's all coming from Marby. I'm just the voice of it right now.
It's together.
We're in this together. Spirit.
Yeah, we have to listen more than we speak, and we have to pray a lot. And that is for sure. I think when we walk with someone that is independent of where they are at, we don't necessarily agree all the time with what they're doing. But if we aren't there to spend time and show God's love and show them integrity in a way where we're not telling them, they're seeing it. And I think that is what bridges those gaps of them even opening themselves to say, I'll come to church with you, because you have come into their space. You spend time with them and they're going, you didn't ask me, number one, are you a Christian? Are you this? Are you, you didn't. You just extended friendship. And now I'm like, oh, I might want to know more about this person and what they're about. And yeah.
So one of the things that we do in relationship that I just want to add to that, what Marby was saying, it's just Marby mentioned that we have to listen more than we speak and we have to pray a lot.
Yeah.
A super powerful thing that every believer should easily be able to do is when you're listening and a person opens up about something they're going through, we think we have to give them some theological or biblical answer or solution. And we don't always know exactly what to say. And that makes us nervous. But what we do, you know, even though, and sometimes we do this even though we would have a pat answer, a Christianese type Sunday school answer with, well, you need to do this. The best answer has often been, would it be okay if I talk to God about that right now with you? Like, just, I you're touching my heart, man. Like, you're going through something and this is really hard. And it resonates with my heart. And I just would, is it okay if I talk to God about that right now? And they're like, oh, sure. You know, a lot of people will say, can you Yeah, pray for me. That would be awesome, you know? And then you just take it before the Lord and you're just pouring out your heart on their behalf. You're interceding and you're saying, God, and you can say just honest things like, would you show them what you want? In, because you love them so much. Can you show them the answer to this question, please? And then in the meantime, can you just give them some peace and some joy? Because right now their heart is just in turmoil, Lord. And I can't fix that, but you can, you know, simple prayer. And then I found that oftentimes the next time I would meet up with that person, I'd just be like, how'd it go? How'd this week go? Dude, it was totally different, man. Like, I feel so different. Can you do some more of that prayer magic stuff? Like, you know, and it's like, no, I'm talking to God. And it's like, this is what a relationship with Jesus is all about, that you could come to the point where when you're going through this stuff, you're talking to him, he's working in your heart, just like that. Yeah. And that peace is there. And it's that, you know, so that's where the love and relationship comes in. They see answers to prayer. Real tangible answers to prayer because you took the time to pray with them. You didn't have to answer all their problems. You just led them to the answer. And that's Jesus. So that's often been the best thing we could do. And it was actually not that hard. You know, so it's kind of encouraging to say, well, I can pray with somebody, you know, I can do that.
Totally. I love all that. I have one last question before we get into the concluding questions. I think there's a lot of people who are going to hear this and they're going to be just so excited. And they're like, well, I have been in a relationship with my friend for a long time, but I don't know when is the moment that I share my testimony or that I be really direct with, you know, my relationship with Jesus. So would you give an encouragement to someone who, you know, wondering, well, when do I start doing that? I've been in a relationship with them, or I am starting a relationship with someone. When do I share my faith with them? Would you be able to give us some encouragement there?
Sure.
What do you think, Marbs?
Well, I was thinking it's not complicated as it might seem.
Yeah.
I think when you spend time with someone, as you befriend them and as you spend time with them, I think because of our walk with the Lord shows us things in their life that might not be... I'll give an example. If they have relationships that are hard and difficult, and a lot of people have relationship issues, but with you, they feel connected or they feel comfortable because, safe. So they'll spend more time with you, and you could speak into that as a format, as in, you know, I feel safe with you. Well, you know what? Jesus is safe. And the Holy Spirit just brings the word, gives you the words, and just a way to transition that. And you could say, you know, if you're having difficulty with a sister, a brother, a friendship, we could pray specifically about that. And at first they might be like, you could pray about that? Like, I've never heard such a thing. And you go, well, yes. And you could explain why it's important and why God sees that as important. And just like little things like that, it's like little seeds, and they grow. Because as they hear you pray, they'll start seeing the difference when they're with you and how you are. And like that piece that Larry talked about, the people about their home, actually that piece walks with us. He's in us. Yeah, so when we walk into a room, we can sense the tension in the room. So I think the same way we sense that tension, they could also sense God's peace. But they can't see it, but they can feel it. So I think those are powerful things that the Holy Spirit gives us, each one of us, his kids, to be able to use effectively to help people.
I love that.
And I think if we, as we're praying for that person, our main prayer needs to just be, God, help me to know when that moment is, when you have brought that moment. It could be that question, that comment about, like, you know, this example of the piece, because again, you're not going to necessarily jump all over it.
Yeah.
But usually we're just saying, God, there's going to be some moment where I'm going to feel like, okay, this is okay. And the Holy Spirit will say, okay, this is a good moment, because it's going to flow into the conversation somehow very easily through a question, a comment, or just an outright, like, I want to know. And then there's two ways we could answer that. We could just share our story. Or we could say, would it be okay if I just showed you some verses from the Bible? I'm not going to preach at you, but I just want you to look. I want you to see for yourself what God says. There's this old style thing that's been around forever called the Romans Road. If you've heard about it, you know what I'm talking about. You can Google it. It's a series of verses in sequence in the book of Romans, starting with Romans 3:10, you know, there is no one righteous, not even one. And then it takes you through, and every verse is self-explanatory, but by the time you get to the end of this, Romans 10, 9 and 10, which is the last verses, it just, you know that, one, everyone has sinned, and sin brought death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. God demonstrates his love for each one of us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And then I add on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace we have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works that any man should boast, because a lot of people think we have to earn our salvation. The Bible says, nope, it's a gift. So that if they're willing to take 10 minutes and I just open the Bible and I say, would you mind reading that one? And then I go to the next one and say, how about that one? And then by the end of it, they're going, oh my goodness, like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And if they say, well, what does it mean? I will say, well, let me tell you my story. This is how I came to understand it. And so you've combined scripture in a moment, like it maybe took 20 minutes, you know, of time. But when that moment comes, we may have to say, hey, could I share something with you? You and they don't feel like it's threatening because you've already built trust. They've seen who you really, you've been a little bit transparent. You've shared with them a couple of times. Yeah, man, I had a bad week, man. I was like feeling depressed. I was struggling with anger this week. Like you've been a little vulnerable with them, and you've been honest with them, and they've been the same with you. So then in that moment, no one's feeling weird about it. It just seems, so those moments do come up. And sometimes you get to the point where you say, you know, it's been a long time now. I think it's time for me to maybe ask them if they'd be willing to maybe study the Bible every week for a while. Like sometimes I've just come right out and said, you know, you have a lot of questions. I'd love to just, and I just want to do a shout out for one of the books that has come on my radar. It's called The Purple Book. The Purple Book by Rice Brooks and Steve Murrell. Fantastic. It's just biblical foundations for building strong disciples. It just answers a lot of questions. And all you have to do is go through some of the chapter with them. It's just a lot of question and answer stuff, going to Bible verses, looking it up. You don't have to prepare anything. If they're willing to spend an hour with you over a cup of coffee once a week, and you go through that book together, so say, hey, take it or leave it, see what you think. At the end of it, you can say, I believe none of it, or you can say, I believe all of it, or some of it. It's up to you. But then the Holy Spirit's working that whole time. So those are the things that come into play in all of this. We have tools we can use, the Bible, the Romans Road, our personal testimony. There's also books that are just like, hey, if someone's willing to hang with you and spend a little time and they think that they feel safe because you have shown them that they matter, that you care about them. You're not just trying to win a check mark on a list like that you're duty bound. You're just fulfilling your duty as a Christian. I'm supposed to do this. No, you're actually, you've been there for them when they most needed you. Even if it's one person at a time, this is powerful stuff. And this is where evangelism meets discipleship and combines into something that is life-changing for people.
Yeah.
And it works. It works. And it's not as hard as we think it is. It really isn't.
Yeah. Thank you guys. So many practical things in there that I know that my listeners are going to love, and a real encouragement and freedom to just be where God has you and allow him to use you. So I just thank you. I thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. As we wrap up, there's just like a few questions that we like to ask everybody. Because we're faith school, we like to ask some school kind of questions. And one of them is, what are some resources that you would recommend to us about the topic? I know the Purple Book was one of them. That would be amazing. Is there any other ones that you would recommend?
Actually, those are the two that came to mind. That and looking up the Romans Road, just to kind of have a Bible thing under your belt, just to kind of like, okay, I've got this to pull out when I need it in my pocket kind of thing. Great resources for that. And yes, take a book like the Purple Book or the Purple Book and go through it yourself first. Let it speak into your own life and then start thinking, who could I start going through this chapter by chapter? I really recommend that. I think that's what Marby and I, when we were thinking about that question ahead of time, we were like, yep, God's word. And this is an example, but we're just going to use that one because find others. There's lots out there, but those are the two that I would say work hand in hand to help. Yeah. So
another thing would be to memorize at least the reference of the Romans Road. It's good to challenge ourselves in that way. Write a story in one page or less and answer the question, where was I when I met Jesus and understood who he really is?
Yeah.
That's one. And the next one, where was I heading in my life at that time? Mm-hmm. And how am I different today? What has changed for the better? What impact have I been able to have since the day I started my personal relationship with Jesus? To write those things down, because sometimes we forget.
Yeah.
It's just like a personal inventory. Mm-hmm. Where was I? When I think of that, it always motivates me and go, wow, God, you have done so much for me personally, and how you rescued me and what you rescued me from.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. I used to think that I had a boring testimony because I accepted Christ as a child, and I would hear all these other testimonies God rescued from, you know, horrible things. And I'd be like, oh, mine is so boring. And then one day it's like, God's like, are you crazy? Like, listen to what you're saying. I rescued you to prep. And he started just showing me stuff. And I was just like, wow, sometimes we forget.
Yeah.
So it's good to write it down sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of people relate to that in like, well, I don't have a story. It's like, yes, you do have a story.
We do.
Totally. All right. Next one is, what is a spiritual practice or discipline that you have found really life-giving?
Well, we've mentioned praying, and I know it sounds like that, you know, Sunday school answer, you know, God, Jesus, and pray. But yes, I mean, we can never do that enough, because that's what everything flows out of. That listening to God's voice in our prayer time and listening for what he's asking of us, and then praying into what is our mission? What is our purpose? What is my identity? And so praying. And then what Marby said, our practice is to kind of revisit our own story, add to it, revamp it, but keep it fresh in our own mind, so that when someone has an interest in hearing what Christ is to me and what he's done in my life, I don't just ramble on and say a whole bunch of things that aren't pertinent. I actually keep it concise. I can tell them in 15 minutes the story of Christ, so that he gets the glory in my life, because our testimony is not supposed to be self-exalting. It's supposed to be Christ-exalting. So we need to make sure we kind of prep that a little bit. So our practice is to pray and to revisit that every so often, so that the story's fresh in our mind.
Yeah.
And if we've learned something in the last 2 years, that is like a whole new whoa that we can add to the story. We want to weave that in a way that doesn't just make it a super long story, but still brings that impact in. So we're kind of still working on it. It's like it's a work in progress, but we don't just kind of fall back on, well, I'll think of what to say in the moment. Be prayerfully prepared and then pray, say, God, set it up for me, man. Set up that moment for me so that I can do this with my friend or with the random person at the bus stop. But Lord, I need courage.
Yeah.
I need courage. And so it's a humble confidence. 1 Peter 5:6, you know, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he would lift you up in due time. I call it a humble confidence because we're humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand. He lifts us up. We have all the courage, everything we would ever need. We're super confident because we're walking under his protection, under his leadership, and he's lifting us up. He's carrying us forward into our mission and our identity. And it's all about him. He gets the glory. And we can be super confident and happy and content. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ in Philippians 4:13. Well, he's talking about contentment. He said, I've learned to be content, but I can do all things. And nothing is too big for me because I'm content with where I'm at to the point where I know who I am in Christ, but I'm reaching for more. I have that desire for more. I want God to be able to use me. So I'm not going to just sit here and just sit back and go, well, there's nothing more. No, there's so much more that God wants to do through every single person. And we're all on the same playing field. We're all on level ground. We don't have, you know, what would I say? You know, those categories that we put Christians in, you know, you got super Christians and normal Christians and block. No, we are all God's people and we are all disciple makers. We're all on the same mission and God looks at us the same way. And God just loves every single one of us with the same intensity and passion. And he's as excited about me as anyone else in the body of Christ and what we can do for his kingdom and glory. Because the time is short.
Yeah.
We got to get out and do the mission.
Yeah.
Because he's coming soon and that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one other thing that I would like to add to that is for myself personally, one of my biggest things is I evaluate myself and I go, today, did I feel a conviction, a passion for Christ? And sometimes we forget to pray for ourselves. Like I do. I pray for people and pray for my ministry. But sometimes I forget to pray for me and my spiritual. And when I do that, God always meets me and say, hey, I've missed you. You're too busy doing everything that I have not asked you to do. It's good, but what I really want is this, is you, your heart. And I think if we were honest with ourselves and we said, how much do I love God? What am I willing to sacrifice? And that sacrifice may look so different for many people.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it starts.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much. Well, that sounds a lot about like what you would assign people for their homework. is there anything else that you would add to that?
I think, any desire we would have for someone would have been kind of spelled out in that. Yes. I think,
for sure.
Take time. Memorize those verses, write out your story. That would be, and start a discipline of prayer, like just every day. And then put that up on the mirror of your bathroom or someplace on your fridge that you look at, but read it through and pray. And those verses in Romans and find other verses and memorize them so that in the moment, you're not preaching at people, but you're sharing God's word because it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that always sticks with me is, you know, somebody once said, we spend most of our time doing a lot of really good things that Jesus never actually asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're good, but he didn't. And we spend the least amount of time doing the one thing he told us we were supposed to be doing. And that is to make disciples. So let's try and switch that a little bit in our personal walk. Like Marby said, let's bring ourselves before God and say, am I willing to really surrender myself and humble myself under his mighty hand and allow him to build into me and flow through me? And can I be more intentional even in my prayer life about, okay, who is that person? God, give me the courage when that moment comes and help me to step out in faith and help me to be happy and proud of my story, but not pretentious about it, not offensive about it, but open about Christ and what he means. We don't need to be ashamed. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Mm-hmm. It is the power of God unto salvation. And he knew that he could and eventually did lose his life for it.
Yeah,
I don't think we have that much to fear in our context, which is wonderful. So let's be bold. Let's be brave. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, guys, I just thank you so much for being on here.
Thank you.
I very much felt the Holy Spirit as we were talking here today, and I just really feel, man, there's somebody out there that's listening right now, you know, doing dishes or out on a walk or whatever the case may be, and they are going to be feeling convicted that it's time to start sharing more and more of who Jesus is and how good he is. So I just thank you so much for being on here with me.
Well, and whoever that is, we don't know you, but we love you anyway. So thanks for listening. Yes. And mm-hmm. thank you, Leah, for inviting us to be able to share what means so much to us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
Okay, you guys, I literally could have cried at the end of this recording. They are just the real deal. And I have so much respect for them as people, and especially as people in ministry. If you have questions for them, make sure that you DM me on Instagram, or you can shoot me an email, and we will get your questions to them, no problem. Next episode, we are running one of my favorite episodes ever with Tara Lee Cobble. This is a rerun, and this woman has honestly been used by God in my life in just such profound ways over this last year, and I'm so glad that I did not do the Bible recap before talking to her, because I would have been totally geeking out. Her summaries of scripture have helped me so much this year, and I know so many of you who have listened to this episode last year. So it's always good to have a refresher, and if you haven't listened yet, you are going to love it. So I can't recommend this episode enough, or her Bible reading program if you're looking for something for the new year. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at Faith School Pod on Instagram, or on our Facebook group, Faith School. I'm happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I-68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal His kingdom.